Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hello, everybody. I'm Andy Griffin. It's 9 minutes after 9 o'clock on a Friday morning. So ready for a weekend. And I know there are those of you out there that are going, wait, dude, you haven't worked all week. You've been sick. And it's true. I haven't worked all week and I have been sick, but that doesn't mean I'm not ready for a weekend. I could use a break. Mello is here too. Melody Finlinson, the superstar over there. Hi, Melody. Yeah.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good.
Very perky. Good morning.
I'm trying to get perky. I'm very tired. I'm just like pretending I'm perky.
Got back from driving down to
Cottonwood, Arizona. Northern Arizona, which is near Sedona. So I got to drive through Oak Creek Canyon
yesterday. So you didn't have to go all the way down to Phoenix. That's good. If you don't know where Sedona is, if you go to Flagstaff and then go down, what canyon was it?
Oak Creek Canyon.
Oak Creek Canyon, then you're in Sedona.
Mm-hmm.
And how far is Cottonwood from Sedona?
Probably about 10 to 12 minutes.
Oh, pretty close.
It's really close, just down the hill.
Isn't there like a, what's that church we went to there, the Rock Church or the some kind of fancy church?
There is a very cool church on the hill, and I cannot remember the name of it right now. It's been.
And Traveler's Tip, if you have a motorcycle, you can drive right up to it. If you have a car, it's a long walk. I'm just saying, because we went there on a motorcycle.
That's awesome. It's beautiful there. Beautiful.
Yeah. Anyway, so you went with your father?
Yeah, I drove my dad. He was going to drive himself. So he has a property there, a commercial property, and he wants to sell it. So I was going to help him.
Oh, he has a daughter who's a realtor and stager. And so you were like, I can help you, sir.
Right. So there was a lot of old things in the building from the last person that was in there. So we went and cleared it all out. We got a 6-yard dumpster and filled it about 3/4 full of papers.
Papers.
This person that was in there before, the last person that was in there passed away. And he had, those binders, like your day planners?
Sure.
He had them dating back to 1978. Yes.
Wow.
1978. Kept every piece of paper.
Hoard much?
It was very organized hoarding. There were file cabinets just full. There was building plans. There was...
What kind of business did this previous guy
It was have? A real estate investor.
Oh, okay.
That was in that building. But it had been vacant for a little bit, so we had to get it all cleared out. And get landscapers arranged, get bug spray arranged.
And the goal is to sell it now?
The goal is to sell it. So we got a realtor in town, because that's what you should do, is find a local realtor, because they know the area.
The way to go.
Yeah.
So you will not be representing your father in this?
No, I'm not licensed in Arizona.
Okay.
So, and I don't know the commercial landscape there either, and I'm not really commercial, I'm residential.
Okay.
So we're really excited. We got everything, kind of all of our ducks in a row, and my sister and her husband came, and we all worked together as a team, and it was really great, effort. We got it all cleaned up, and it looks great.
And the thing people need to know, you left, this was Tuesday, right?
Left Tuesday.
And came back Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty long trip for a 2-dayer. I mean, that's a long way to go for 2 days and all the work you had to do and everything.
Yeah, but we had to pull together for my dad to get that done.
Did you work your butt off?
Yeah, I'm so tired. Right. And then I got stuck on the hide-a-bed. It was so painful. I'm too old for a hide-a-bed.
No. What? It's so weird, Mello. Technology has come so far in so many ways, and still every hide-a-bed I've ever slept on sucks.
No, and she had a Serta mattress on that thing, and it was still painful.
That metal bar and the...
Right across my shoulder blades. Yeah, so the next night, I just slept on the couch without
that. That's what... That is exactly what people usually do.
Mm-hmm.
Pull the hide-a-bed out. We're going to sleep. After a few hours, maybe even that night, you're like, let's pull this thing up, sleep on the couch.
Yeah, I should have done that, but I was too tired. But anyway, I'm very grateful that we're able to get that all done for my dad, and we'll get that sold and move on to the next thing.
All right. The Jeff and Maddox miss you?
I don't think so. There was too much basketball going on for March Madness.
There was basketball going on. Sadly, though, our BYU Cougars lost last night.
Oh, I know. I got home within the last 5 minutes of the game, and my husband was really frustrated. He's a diehard BYU fan. Mm-hmm. And I said, if BYU loses, then I don't have to work on Saturday. He's like, get out of this room if you're going to be talking bad about BYU.
Don't want to hear that negative stuff. Well, the frustrating thing about the game was that BYU actually played pretty well.
It was a really good game.
The other team just would not miss. I mean, wow, 25 three-pointers in a basketball game. That's a tournament record.
No one's... Some of them were like from half court.
Yeah, I know. I mean, he was...
On fire.
Yeah. The previous record, and it's not like they broke the record by barely edging. The previous record was 21 made threes in a game. Jeez. They made 25.
Yeah, that's not small potatoes.
So, anyway. yeah, I was a little disappointed last night, too, but... Mm-hmm. It was still, you know, you have a year, and I'm like Jeff. I'm a little, mm-hmm. I'm a bit of a diehard BYU guy. Mm-hmm. I was bummed out, but you know what? I was proud of the year they put together, and
yeah, they made it.
I just saw an announcement. I don't know if it's official or not, but Yegor Demin, who is supposed to be a lottery pick, perhaps for the NBA, is announcing he's coming back to BYU next year.
Really?
Which, when they have the number one recruit in America, mm-hmm. AJ DeBanza, who plays out in Hurricane,
that's right,
going there. And then if you get, you know, if you get Demin back, if you can get Richie Saunders back, and I mean, they could be really good next year.
Be a sweet team.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, we're not here to talk basketball, but welcome back. I'm glad you made it, and I really appreciate you forcing yourself out of bed and coming in this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I know it wasn't easy.
It was a challenge, but I'm here. I'm happy.
Quick update on my health. Those that know, I have played pre-recorded shows Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. They played them for me, I should say. I did spend a little time at our friend with our friends over at St. George Regional, and just have a little problem with my leg that just won't go away. It keeps coming back, and I went to a different doctor. Not that my doctor wasn't good, but I went to a completely different kind of doctor, and he is a guy, I didn't know about this, but this is a guy that treats this kind of thing all the time. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh yeah, I do a lot of these. I was like, where have you been all my life? Because I need... So, and he has a different treatment for me, and I'm really hopeful that this one is the one that fixes it. So,
right. I do suggest you get that leg up, though, because...
Yeah, it needs to be up,
It's a little bit larger than the other one.
You can't talk on the radio with your leg up. You just can't do it.
I know, that'd be awkward.
I guess I can unhook this and lean back. No.
No, you've got to sit like that for a little bit, but get home and get some rest today.
I will. All right, a couple of things in the news today that I wanted to bring up. Okay, this one, I wasn't even going to talk about this one on the show, but I have to. Okay, there's a group called, a company called Frida, F-R-I-D-A. Have you heard of them?
No.
They make breast milk pumps.
Okay. I have heard of them, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Breast milk pumps. So they've got a brand new one coming out. Supposed to be fancy, state-of-the-art breast pump, right? To celebrate it, they commissioned a company to make... breast milk flavored ice cream. I don't know what breast milk tastes like, number one, but I can't imagine it's, you know, what we're used to with the sweet, you know, cow milk or whatever, but.
Oh, it's so funny.
Why? Why would they do that? I don't.
So they're using actual breast
milk? No, it doesn't have breast milk in it. Okay. It just is breast milk flavored.
I would try it.
Would you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll try it.
I could.
If it's not real human breast milk, I'll try it.
In Texas, you can get mashed potatoes and gravy flavored ice cream.
Ew.
Not kidding. I'm not kidding. And in the Philippines, my son sent me a picture once when he was out there as a missionary, cheddar cheese flavored ice cream.
I might try that.
I was like, no, that's a hard no for me.
I would try it.
Of the three, though, okay, you got this is the either-or game. You got breast milk-flavored ice cream, cheddar cheese ice cream, or mashed potatoes and gravy is ice cream. There's three dishes of ice cream sitting in front of you. Which one do you choose, Mello?
Cheddar cheese.
Cheddar cheese?
Cheddar cheese. I'd try cheddar cheese. I'm curious to see what it tastes like.
I think of the three, I would go that one first as well. Although, it might ruin cheese forever if it's not good.
But what if it's so good that it like...
But imagine ruining cheese and ice cream at the same time for you.
Oh, that would be a sad day.
That would be a really sad day. maybe we would both lose weight, though,
there
if we stopped
go.
Eating
yeah.
ice cream and
yeah,
cheese.
So. I know. Exactly. Could
All be. Right. I wasn't going to mention that one, but I did. Sorry. I digress.
That was interesting.
A noted anti-vaccine activist has been tapped to head a federal study on autism. You said, now wait, what? Public health experts are blasting the appointment of David Geyer, saying his claims about a link of immunizations have been widely debunked for years. Dr. Peter Hotez told a meeting this week that at Rice University, he's been trying to reason with skeptics for a year and they refuse to listen. Geyer and his father, Mark, have published numerous reports that falsely claim that vaccines increase the risk of autism. So basically what they said, Donald Trump and his guys said, All right. You really believe that vaccines cause autism? Show me the money. Prove it.
Right. I do know that, like, the shots that we got when we were kids are not as many as the shots that they give now.
Right. They've combined. You know, you have the MMR, mumps, measles, and rubella, and some of those. Mm-hmm. So you have fewer shots, that's for sure.
And then I have 7 kids, and of my 7, 2 of them are slightly on the spectrum.
Okay.
And I do think there's a correlation.
I thought we were safe here, but apparently we're going down Mellow Road.
I know. I think there's a correlation maybe in the amount of vaccine.
Show me the money.
I will let this guy that's actually an expert.
Mr. Geyer.
Yes. Yeah. I will let Mr. Geyer show us the money. Because I do think there's a slight correlation. I don't know that it's a causation, but I think it's a correlation. I don't know if that's the same thing.
Correlation, causation.
I don't think the shots cause autism, because then everyone would have it, right? But I think there's a correlation between maybe the amount of vaccine that's in each shot. Maybe we've increased the number too much, and then it's like flipping a switch on autism. I don't know how autism works, but I think it could.
Right. Now, I'll let you have your opinion, and we will agree to disagree. I think it has no effect whatsoever.
Well, we'll find out in about probably 3 years.
Yeah, that's true. Those government studies take a while.
That's right.
We did a segment maybe a month ago about food dyes, and it was in the news, and it's actually starting to... Remember we talked about, I think it was Red Dye 40?
Mm-hmm.
They banned it in cosmetics, right? This stuff causes cancer. We don't want it in our cosmetics. But you can go ahead and put it in kids' cereal and candy and stuff like that.
Jeez.
That was 31 years that they okayed it in food.
For 31 years?
Yeah, it was banned in the 90s in makeup, but they let it stay in food until this year. Now they're finding out it could maybe actually cause cancer inside of you instead of just on your face, too. And so they are banning it now. But
finally.
Yeah. West Virginia is the first state to officially ban. Let's see. They got a lot. The red dye 3 and 40, yellow dye 5 and 6, blue dye 1 and 2, and green dye 3 are all being banned in West Virginia. Hmm. I feel like they're throwing more out than need to. Yellow number 5, I've actually done a lot of research on this. Yellow number 5 has found there are no harmful effects whatsoever that they've been able to find in anything. So for them to throw 5 in there, yellow 5 in there for fun, I don't get it. But I guess better safe than sorry, right? I don't know.
Yeah, I would rather not have extra additives like that in the food just for color. I think that's okay.
One more from the news today. I think one more. Yeah, well, two more. Two more from the news today. Did you know? This is fascinating to me. So remember Dr. Jack Kevorkian, the death doctor,
yes,
they called
him.
The guy was helping people die, and it's against federal law, and he ended up going to prison for it because two people that had terminal cancer wanted to die quicker, and he helped them, and they had it on video of him helping them, and they charged him with, I don't know, it was like manslaughter or something like that. Several states now have passed a right to die law.
Mm.
10 of them now, actually. But it was Oregon that did it first, the state of Oregon. So they're finding an interesting deal. Now, it is now easier than ever to, if you want to die. Now, there's some caveats here, so let me give you the whole story. But they're finding that several states, if you want to die, have passed. There are now 10 states plus the District of Columbia that will let you, if you want to die, you can die. Now, like I said, the caveat is this. You have to prove that you have a terminal disease and you're going to die within I think it's 5 years or 3 years or something like that. And you have to be 18 years or older, so a little kid can't do it. So the last year, the state of Oregon wrote 600 plus prescriptions for people to die. So you have to have a prescription from a doctor saying you have the right to die.
Wow.
Of the 600 prescriptions written, only 200 people actually did it. You're like, wait a minute. So the prescriptions were actually slightly up. It was 500 something last year.
Mm-hmm.
But last year, almost all of the 500 prescriptions fulfilled, they filled their prescription. They died. They went to a death doctor and died. This year, a third of them, did it.
Okay, so they go to a doctor, and the doctor gives the lethal dose. They don't prescribe the lethal dose and give it to them. Like, they have to go to a facility that does it, or how does that work? Do you know?
Let me see if I can read that.
Because I can't imagine them giving pills that could kill you, because you could give those to anyone. So it makes sense what you're saying. I'm just trying to understand the process.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you have to have assisted suicide or medical aid in dying. So, yeah. Maybe because it's expensive or whatever. But anyway, the states are where you can do that now. Along with Oregon, it's California, Maine, New Mexico. And New Mexico's close. Washington, D.C., that's District of Columbia. Colorado, that's close. Montana, Oregon, Washington, Hawaii, New Jersey, and Vermont.
I don't know how I feel about that. Because, I mean, should people have the right? Probably. I feel like that's different than abortion, right? But because you're the person that's having the experience. But then as a person, would I do it? No. Because what if something came out within the next 5 years that would actually make me better and I could live?
Right.
So I wouldn't roll the dice on that.
That is quite an ethical dilemma. If you're a religious person, and I am, you believe that killing yourself is wrong. And so there's that factor. Beyond that, if you maybe that you don't feel that it's wrong, but you're looking at it and going, like, you, hey, maybe they come down with a cure with that for that. What if, though, you're in extreme pain right now? What if you're dying, you know it's going to be within a year or two, and it hurts really bad? Do you have the right to put yourself out of your misery?
Right. I know. I mean, we do it with our animals all the time, right?
Yeah, euthanasia.
I don't know. I think I would suffer through, but there are a lot of people that just, it's painful to watch somebody die. It's really painful, and it's hard to see your loved ones in pain.
Now, if you want to comment on this, and by the way, I just got a couple of texts here. If you want to comment on this, give us a call, 673-5890. We would love to hear from you, 435-673-5890. The sweet voice you hear first will be Melody. And if you'd like to text me, 467-5842. I've gotten several comments today saying that our voices are sounding muffled today.
Oh, no.
I'm not sure why. Now, I texted a couple of people and said, hey, what are you listening to? And all of them that where my voice sounds muffled is on AM.
Oh.
So I would recommend switching to 92.5 or 106.1 FM. I know change is hard. I actually had to go through this last year when they told me they were powering down AM some and powering up the FM. And now my truck is locked on 92.5. I listen all the time on 92.5. But, if you could tune in to 92.5. Or 106.1. I think that would help the muffled sound. Let's see.
Thanks for the feedback, though.
Again, but yeah, I've got three just now saying, hey, your voice sounds muffled. It's weird because I have done nothing different with my microphone. I'll have to listen back to the show we just had on with Gary to see if his, because you're in a different studio than me. He was right next to me in the same studio. If his voice was also sounding muffled, maybe there's something wrong with my microphone. I don't know. Somebody listen on the FM and let me know.
Yeah, let us know.
Okay, here's a text. In Canada, you get the meds from a doctor with a prescription, but you have to administer them yourself to die.
Oh, no.
Interesting.
That would be,
yeah, that's a way to commit murder maybe, too.
Oh, I know, you could. You're like, yeah, it's for me, wink, wink, and then off your spouse and get the life insurance.
We watch too many of those shows, don't we?
I know, I try not to. They give me bad dreams.
Do they?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. My wife and I, we like true crime stories. And I'm not big into the, you know, the cop shows and stuff, and she likes those. But I like when it's something that really happened. But you're right, they do kind of, that could happen. I mean, because most of the time, it's a regular person in a regular community, and they didn't see it coming. Now, not all the time, obviously. I mean, there's some people who are like, yeah, they kind of had it coming. But most of the time, it's just one of us.
I know, just a regular person just doing their job or having a regular night out. It's terrifying. Yeah, I try not to watch those because I don't want to bring that into my sphere of knowledge. I don't want to know about that.
By the way, Jeanette just texted and said, it sounds a little better on FM, but it's still not normal, my microphone. Here's what I'm going to do real quick. If I can reach it, I'm going to switch microphones for a second and see if this helps. If I don't make too big of a mess here. All right. I have, ooh,
it that actually does sound
it
better.
Sounds better in my headphone.
Yeah, it sounds better.
So I don't know if it's better in real life, but again, folks, if you can weigh in, I just changed microphones. Clay listens on Alexa, says my voice is muffled on Alexa as well on the Alexa feed. So
maybe it's a studio thing. Like we need to get with the engineer.
We will definitely have an engineer conversation after the shows. Meanwhile, I'm going to use mic 3 instead of mic 1.
It does sound better.
Yeah. So I apologize for the weak. The hard thing too is my voice is really weak too from having been in the hospital and having mm-hmm. been sick. And so you got the double whammy going, right? You got the microphone weakness and my voice weakness going at the same time. But we'll see if we can take care of business. Sorry about that, folks. We were talking about right to die and the ethical dilemma involved in whether or not you choose to die, and it's a tough thing to think about. Again, like, there's a religious aspect. Is it mm-hmm. wrong? It is wrong, I think, in most religions. And then you go, okay, well, what if I disregard that? I'm in extreme pain. Everything hurts. Death would be a relief.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dying in 7 months anyway. Why can't I choose to make it quicker?
Right. I know. I don't think I could do it to myself. I don't think I could actually take the pill like in Canada. I don't think I could physically make myself do that.
Let me read this story to make it clear. Let's see. Oregon Health Authority reports over 376 deaths last year. Oh, that's about half of the prescriptions they wrote. So I said it was a third. It's about a half of the prescriptions they wrote actually resulted in someone using the prescription. And 23 prescriptions were written for out-of-state patients in Oregon. So it used to be, because Oregon was the first and only state that would allow that, people were flocking there from around the country. Now there are 10 states and the District of Columbia, so they're not getting, what would you call it? I've heard of medical tourism. Would this be death tourism, maybe?
Yeah.
Morto tourism?
There's probably a special word for that.
Yeah. I'll bet somebody already has coined it. We'll mm-hmm. have to look it up. So,
yeah.
Mello, at what stage would you go, I need to do this? Would there be a trigger? Would there be a thing where you would go, yeah, I got to?
If I didn't have any family or friends to care for me.
Oh, that's not happening. You have plenty.
I know, but if.
Okay.
If I did and I was all alone, and then I would be like, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. That's the only time I think I would. I think I would persevere and suck it up, as they say.
So loneliness would be the biggest factor.
Not
necessarily pain or religion, but loneliness.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
And that, sadly, is one of the reasons that, I hate to even bring it up, folks, but suicide among seniors is actually pretty high. It's a pretty high rate. Now, it's relative, right? I'm not mm-hmm. saying half of all seniors kill. What I'm saying, though, is, you know, maybe 4 out of 1,000 seniors are mm-hmm. choosing to do that because they're lonely. That's mm-hmm. a big thing.
It is. It is. And I think people get forgotten.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I read today on The Wire that Gene Hackman and his wife's bodies have still not been claimed.
What?
They're still in the mortuary, still in the morgue, waiting for family to come do something with their bodies. And
my goodness, I didn't know that.
Now remember, a handyman found them after, what was it, 8 days or 10 days or mm-hmm. something? So mm-hmm. the kids never checked on it. He has 3 children. They had 3 children together. And now they... It's national. It's all over the place, and the family still hasn't come to
I know,
bury him.
I think it has to do with money, though, because I think he married that woman that was about the age of some of his kids, like that was younger, right? The wife was younger.
Yeah, she's 30 years younger.
And then she left. He left her everything.
But I think they had the kids together.
I don't think so, because she's a different nationality. And the kids are not.
She's Japanese American.
Right. So. Right. But the girls that I saw, I didn't know he had 3. I only saw 2 of them.
Okay. Maybe they is.
They were from his first marriage or one of his earlier marriages. So I'm thinking there might be some animosity, like, against their dad.
But why? I mean, they're dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, sad to say it, but death heals all wounds among family, in my opinion. How many funerals have you been to where the person they're talking about, they're celebrating the positive things in their life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know people that have died that they weren't really great people. Mm-hmm. They did some bad things in their life, but you don't talk about the bad stuff when they're dead.
That's
you talk
true.
About the good stuff. And
that's
you celebrate.
True.
Why wouldn't the kids put all that aside and go, you know what? They died in horrible circumstances. There's money there. I mean, clearly they had an estate. They could sell their New Mexico ranch, give them the best funeral ever, and they won't do it.
I hadn't heard that. And so I hope somebody, one of his kin, does that. I'm sure his brothers and sisters are all passed away already. So he's got to have a niece or a nephew somewhere that still wants to do that.
I feel like Gene Hackman was one of the great and underrated actors of my generation. Mm-hmm. I loved him. In every movie he was in, he was always fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Always believe. I never once go, oh, there's actor Gene Hackman trying to imitate some. No, it was Gene Hackman is Lex Luthor.
Yes.
Gene Hackman is, I recently watched Runaway Jury where he was the bad guy, lawyer guy, and he was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. And
mm-hmm.
it's a guy you love to hate.
Right.
But you didn't really hate him. You just hated the character.
Yeah. He was a very good actor. I agree. Yeah. Superman was so much fun.
Yeah. What's the other big one? Oh, Hoosiers. He was the coach in Hoosiers.
Mm.
He wasn't a bad guy in that one. Although, I mean, you know, coaches sometimes are considered bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think he was a drunk or something. I don't know what he was. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, I hope they do the right thing by him and his wife.
I do too.
So we gotta get this weather break in or I'm going to get fired. So we'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, happy Friday to you. I'm Andy. I actually turned the mic one on just now, and I'm like, you're not a mic one idiot. You're using mic three right now. Hopefully, our signal is coming through a little bit better. We have alerted the engineer, and we're working on things, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, hopefully
some
it
people
works.
Say muffled. Others say kind of
distorted.
In and out, distorted, whatever. And I don't know what it is, but I am not a tech guy. So, I mean, I can operate my iPhone and the computer a little bit, but if I had to do a network or program a mixing board like what's in front of me right now, no, not happening.
Right. We'll get it worked out. I'm sorry, but yes.
Mello, how are you? Are you techie? Are you?
I never was the techie person in our household until I got divorced and I had to become techie.
Mm.
And I'm not super techie, but I can like hook up the Roku. I can hook up the internet.
I can do the basic stuff.
Right.
I'm with you on that. But
yeah,
it's when they start getting it. Well, you need to route it through server number 7 and the N drive and the J drive. And then you need to combine that with the router. And I'm like, huh?
No, I have a son who's a mechanical engineer. So I just call him.
Yeah.
And I have a son-in-law who's also a mechanical engineer and a niece that's a mechanical engineer. So
what
I just call my people. Got smart genes, just,
yeah,
you know.
That's the best
techie
way to do
side
it.
Did not come to me.
All right, let's talk about choices a little bit. This is fascinating to me. I read an article today. This is on the dailyeconomy.org. You can also find it, I think, on AIER.org. But it's about choices. And they did some studies, and this is really fascinating to me. So, you know, you go to those country stores, you know, Cracker Barrel kind of has one, or you can go to Red Barn or whatever, and they have all the little specialty jams, and you can find out like pineapple jalapeno jam
mm-hmm.
or huckleberry, or and there's all these flavors, and you're like, oh, that sounds so amazing. And yet, the top sellers are always, you know, strawberry and mm-hmm. grape and things like that. Well, so they did this study, and they set up in a gourmet food store two tasting booths. One of them offered 6 choices. Choices of jams for you to taste. The other one offered 24 choices of jams to taste. Now, they let people choose whichever they want when they wanted to go to, and 60% of the people participating went to the larger one. They wanted more choices, right? Of course, we think we do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of the 60% of shoppers that went to the 24 variety tasting booth, 3% bought jam after the thing was over. 3%.
Okay.
What is that? 1 in 33.
Mm-hmm.
So not very many people bought jam. The 6th jam tasting booth, only 40% of the people went, but fully 1/3 of those people bought jam after the tasting booth.
Hmm.
1/3. Now, you can, anybody that studies statistics knows, you could go, well, they were predisposed already by GM. That's why they chose a smaller group, and that's why they, whatever. You can use whatever justification you want. But to me, the obvious answer is that sometimes we get brain overload when we have too many choices.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of other studies. There's one called the SA topic selection experiment. They found that in a college course, students were offered either six topics to choose from on one English composition course. The other, you were given 30 choices of topics to choose from. They found that not only did the students that had six choices get the job done more often,
mm-hmm.
but way, like, twice as often. So if you had six choices, you were twice as likely to complete the assignment than if you had 30 choices.
Right, because you go into, what is that when you have, like, too many choices? It's overload, really.
Yeah, exactly. A third study, this is on chocolate. Participants were asked to choose a chocolate from either a selection of six or 30 options.
Mm.
Those with six options reported greater satisfaction with their choice and were more likely to select chocolate over monetary compensation. They rewarded them as they left. They said, here's $5 or here's a box of chocolates. Which would you rather have?
Chocolate.
It probably wasn't five. It was probably 20. They don't have a number on it, but they were more likely to choose chocolate over the money when they left than those that had 30 choices.
Yeah. I don't know. I know when you're raising kids, like, I did this without knowing I was doing it, but when you're asking a toddler, you don't give them 10 choices. You're like, do you want the green cup or the blue cup?
Yeah.
Like, you limit their choices because then they still have the autonomy of choice, but you're not overloading.
That was very intuitive of you. I think that, especially as grandparents, I'm a grandpa now, you're a grandma now, mm-hmm. but you're better at that because I would be, if I had, say, eight different colored cups mm-hmm. with the same liquid in them, or the same liquid maybe to offer them, but eight different colored cups, I would go, okay, here's the eight cups. Which one do you want? And thinking, hey, more options, then they're more likely to have their favorite color. But you're saying, give them a blue or a red or whatever mm-hmm. the colors, mm-hmm. and give them those two choices. They're much more happy mm-hmm. when they make that choice.
Yeah. Yeah, and same with clothes. Do you want this shirt or this shirt? Which shirt do you want? And you don't give them all the shirts in the drawer. Just a couple choices.
Why do you think that is?
I think that it's overwhelming because you're like, well, shoot, maybe if I choose that one, the other one would have made me happier. But then if I choose that one, then I would have liked that one better.
So regret a little bit, maybe? Like if you have eight outfits and that one has an apple in the pocket and the other one has an alligator on the sleeve and you go, oh, I chose the apple, but that'd be really cool to have an alligator too.
Right.
And then the other one, would you get blue or a red outfit?
Right. I don't know. I just pick out two outfits. I'm like, you can have this shirt or this shirt. Which one do you want? Because there's no way I'm going to wait for them to decipher which one they want out of all 30 shirts. There's no way.
So you know how they have those little cameras in the aisles at grocery stores?
Yes.
they did that, a study on how long it takes someone to choose what cereal they want in a grocery store.
Mm.
They did it in two different stores. One store had a very small cereal section that had like six cereals, and that was it. The other store had, like your Walmart, had like, what are there, like 50 now?
Oh, there's so many.
And they said that the person that, and again, you can, well, statistic-wise, you can say, well, it was this reason or that reason, but they found that the people with six choices made their choice in 1 minute and 16 seconds. The people that had 50 choices took up to 17 minutes. To decide which cereal to buy.
I think that I like having a lot of choices for cereal because I like very specific cereals and I just go and pick those cereals out. But I can see why the stores would offer more choices because then as they're in the store longer, they're lingering longer and they're probably picking up more and more and they're buying
more. So their plan is to get you to confuse or regret.
I think so. So you'll buy more.
So, okay, let's take a cereal. What if you get to the store and you're a Raisin Bran person, right? I want Raisin Bran.
Mm-hmm.
You get to the store and Raisin Bran, there it is, but it's $4.99 a box. Right next to it is Reese's Puffs. That is only $3.99 a box, same size.
Mm.
You came to the store to get Raisin Bran. You do like Reese's and peanut butter, but mm-hmm. you came to the store to get, I mean, that's your favorite cereal.
Right.
maybe I'm doing it backwards because I don't know a lot of people that raisin
bran. I would
brands
never choose
favorite.
Raisin bran.
It's just an example, though.
Yeah.
It's just an example.
No,
So then what do you do? Do you change your plan?
I do. I do choose less expensive cereals. I don't buy cereals very often. We usually just have 3 cereals in our house. And so I just stick to those usually.
By the way, for those listening and saying that they're having problems with the audio, just got a text from someone that said it is crystal clear on the KDXU app.
Good call.
Now, you can't get your app on your car, but nowadays, most cars, you can stream through from your phone right through your car audio, and you can play the KDXU app.
There you go.
So
that's how I like to listen.
And you can also find lots of stories written by me.
Small plug.
Yeah.
Small plug.
So, all right, one more commercial break. We'll come back and wrap the show up. But choices, are we given too many choices? The comparison, by the way, at the end of the story is about social media. We are given so many choices in social media. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'll bet I can name, without even hardly thinking, 5 social media apps. Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. Wait, that's 6. I don't need to keep going. Mm-hmm. How about you? Can you name more beyond the ones I named?
No, I only have 3.
Okay. But you get the... Well, I didn't even say X. I guess it's not Twitter anymore.
Yeah.
It's X. Truth Social, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's happening, this author contends that we are getting too many choices in social media, and it's leading to the things we were talking about, the regret, the dissatisfaction that mm-hmm. you're getting. And I've actually even felt that a little bit myself lately. Mostly my social media choice is Facebook, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
But I've kind of started going, maybe I said Instagram. My sons are on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I get to see more of their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's talking about TikTok. I don't TikTok, but mm-mm. It's, I guess, all the cool kids are doing it, right?
Yeah, not I.
we'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Happy Friday to you. You know, years of pushing the same button, and then you push the other button, and you're supposed to push the other button, and it doesn't work. That's a bad thing. But I am on mic 3. I'm hoping it sounds a little bit better. I am told the engineer is actually working on the towers right now. He's working on the signals and everything, and that might be the issue. I'm not sure why. Is the boss still here?
No.
I'm not sure why they couldn't do this at 10:05 or whatever, why they have to do it between 7 and 10 in the morning, but whatever. That's where you go, the little, what are they, the hierarchy scale at mm-hmm. the radio station. I'm way down here. You're like right under me.
Oh, I'm under your foot.
Yeah, but then there's like the engineer and the boss. They're way up here, and all I right. just, all right, this is the way it's going to be, Andy. And I'm like, all right.
Fine, we'll do it. We'll figure it out. You can listen on the app. It's better.
Even though, guess who gets all the texts and people unhappy when something happens? It's not the boss or the engineer. It's me.
It's you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're figuring it out, and people are patient, and they
we're
understand.
We're trying really hard, yeah.
And you just got out of the hospital, so they're going to be extra patient with you.
Yeah. Someone asked about my foot condition, about blood clots. It is not blood clots. Actually, it's kind of funny. When the last 2 times I've been in the ER, the first thing they did was do an ultrasound to see if I have blood clots. It is not. It is a cellulitis issue and extreme swelling. So, yeah. But and the other text is, yeah, crystal clear on the app. So.
Okay. Good to know.
Cool. About 4 minutes left. Have you ever heard what is called a popcorn book?
No.
So you have your meat books, right? Your the Great Gatsby's, right? Or whatever. Uh-huh. Then you have the side dishes, the vegetables or whatever. You know, maybe your side novels. But then you have what you call popcorn books. And I'm not going to lie, I like popcorn books. They're the Clive Cussler type books, the books that are kind of a movie in book form. You know, they're just good, fun reads. They have very little redeeming value intellectually, but they're just fun.
Just like watching a movie in a book.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those are popcorn books. Well, this guy on this website, the website is intellectualtakeout.org, Jeff Minnick, he says, singing the praises of popcorn books because we, you know, women like Harlequin romances, right? And there's the romance books and whatever. They're not, as bad as everyone thinks. They're not detrimental to your soul.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe.
Not like reading an R-rated movie?
No. Okay. Well, I don't know about the... I don't read romance novels, but the popcorn book, like the Clive Cussler type books. I used to love Isaac Asimov and Ray Bradbury, the science fiction books. Mm-hmm. They're just good reads. They're just... I mean, to me, I don't read... Except for when I was in college, I don't read to educate myself. I read as a form of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's a good form of entertainment, but that's why I do it. And I've even had authors on this show, Mello, that the whole point is they wrote a book that's a good read.
Mm.
And you know, yeah, there are other kind of books you can read, you know, and my wife loves the self-help books. She loves mm-hmm. those types of
Me
things.
Too.
Mm-hmm. And that's fine. You know, if you like those, read them. Do it.
Mm-hmm.
They're popcorn books maybe for you. Right?
Yeah, I do love them.
But to me, just to condemn the popcorn books because, well, you're not really learning anything from that because that doesn't really exist or because, you know, the Clive Cussler books, with Dirk Pitt, you know, the those ones were all about some dude who had seemingly superhuman. He was like Forrest Gump. He was lucky at everything. He was just everything fell into place for him. And, you know, I mean, why do we go to a movie that has, you know, Indiana Jones or,
right.
or whatever? It's just a fun, good time escape. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, so. I don't either. I actually just started reading a book called Stop Choosing to Be Broke.
Okay.
It's a local author. We ought to get him on, Jerem Bergeson. He actually was speaking at a class I went to just
I know Braden Bergeson. I wonder if they're,
yeah,
and Larry Bergeson.
Jerem, I don't know if he's from here originally, but
so Larry was a school superintendent. Maybe it's his son or something. We'll have to check into that.
Yeah, no, it's a great book. Just I like books that like teach me things that I should know that I'm just not doing. I don't know. I just need to be told like 10 times to do it.
Make you feel guilty though.
No, it makes me inspired.
If you're not doing them enough, you're like, oh, dang it, I'm not doing that.
No, I want to do it.
Okay. When you get a little away from your mic, it's more clear. So when I'm close like this, it's not clear. But when I back up, it's clear.
Okay, back up.
Yes, I don't know.
There you go. Let's try
that. Is very contrary to radio thing to back away from your mic. So, and again, one of the greatest things that you can do for your child is not enroll them in a private school and not homeschool them and not do all this, read to them
mm-hmm.
when they're, especially when they're young before they start school.
Yes.
And I've been a big believer in reading my whole life. My wife and I have read to our kids. I just completed a project. I think this is so cool. I have two favorite books that I read to my grandkids. One is called Mike Mulligan and the Steam Shuffle. A lot of you will remember that one. The other one is called Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day.
I love that book.
Even in Australia. Anyway, I read those here in studio. I dictated those, and my kid, they have these devices, and they wear little headphones, and at bedtime, they can put their little headphones on, and they're going to hear their grandpa
Aww.
Reading bedtime stories to them, even though they live 300 miles away.
That's so sweet.
I'm excited about that.
I love that.
And with that, we used up all our time.
Okay.
So, Mello, thanks for helping out today. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
We got to go. We'll see you on Monday.